Good morning. Today is Friday, May the 11th. Don't forget Mother's Day. Joining us this morning, our very own mother of the fire, huh? Okay, fine. Billy Reynolds. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
It's kind of started to whip around town a little bit now, this article about that the New York Times had about heroin and syringes and Eureka and Humboldt County. Okay, so I don't think we're breaking any new territory on this one. But it's always intriguing to see others' perspectives.
Absolutely.
When you talk about the prevalence of drug and medical aid, drug-induced medical aid responses that Humboldt Bay Fire has, when you're talking to your buddies throughout the state, throughout the region, is that normal for everybody, or are we different?
You know, it does vary from place to place. We tend to have our share around here with the problems our area has. But you'd be surprised that some of the areas I mentioned that they have a high prevalence of problems. And most people, when they think of drug overdoses, they tend to think primarily of the junkie out on the street who has a heroin problem or something like that. But where we see most of our overdoses and other areas see them is in the prescription overdoses as well. So it's not
inadvertent, accidental, or purposeful, abusive.
Most of the time, it's inadvertent. And when I say inadvertent, it also includes people that maybe have developed an addiction to it, not necessarily trying to hurt themselves, but they've had an issue with prescription drugs and they just took too much this time. But we do see a few. Every so often of the people that are intentionally trying to hurt themselves, but mostly prescription, and it's by accident.
So it's not the intentional part. Now, what someone had indicated that I get the high school kids, that's kind of has been one of the things in the last few years, is get the prescriptive drugs from the medicine cabinet at home, and self-diagnose might be a phrase to use, but to use that. Is that what you're seeing, or is it the prescribed messing up?
Usually it's the prescribed that's messing up. Fortunately, and I say this because I have two kids at Eureka High School, fortunately we're not seeing too many overdose calls at Eureka High School. In fact, I can't remember the last time we had one. But most of the time when we go to the high school for anything, it's for some sort of other medical problem. But it has happened in the past. Obviously, we've seen stories in the news about that and everything. So I'm not sure if that's just by grace of God, or if that's by the education programs trying to cut kids down on that. So,
what do you go to the high school for?
We tend to go there. A lot of times we go there for sports-related injuries. We go there for obviously fire alarms and fire-related things. Fortunately, again, not that often. But then a lot of times a student that has a medical problem, such as a seizures or a diabetic issue, we go there for that as well.
Something that everybody's kind of aware of.
Right.
Rather than the surprise thing.
Exactly. And the occasional assault call or something like that from a fight or something on the periphery. We'll get dispatched to Eureka High School and find out that it was, in fact, not a student, but it was somebody that was walking by the high school and was involved in something.
The hangers on. That situation a couple weeks ago, I forgot to ask Chief Steve when he was in, where folks were walking by, the 1900 block of J. Give me a break. All you have to do is say 1916 and everybody knows where it is.
Right.
And they were, as reported, chased by, and there was medical aid necessary.
Right.
Is that kind of settled? I mean, can you talk about it?
I don't have a whole lot of detail. I don't know much about that call other than that the people were assaulted when they were in the vicinity of the high school there, but I'm not sure if
it was like a couple walking and some kids attacking, or was it more familial than that?
It seemed like it was the first, basically some people walking by and they were attacked by somebody, but I never heard if it was students. I wasn't even sure if there was some sort of a history there, if there was a back and forth. So yeah, I don't really know much about that one.
Deferring it across the street?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, fine. I'll see if my memory's any better for June than it is for May, huh? See if I can remember that one. With the amount of drug use that's in the area, there's one thing that has been bothering me for a long time, and it's not like I don't use the bully pulpit here to express opinions, but that we're getting immune to it, numb to it. It's prevalent. It's expected. It's normal, which a lot of us go, no, this isn't normal. This shouldn't be expected. This isn't what we're accepting. But for the casual or the latecomer, that's just kind of seen as, well, yeah, it's Eureka. What do you think? When you hear that, what do you think? How prevalent should it be? How far out of alignment are we?
Yeah, anytime you have the normalization of deviance like that, where it's something that, like you said, it's absolutely abhorrent. You shouldn't be seeing these things around here, especially as someone who grew up in this area. You know, seeing what Eureka used to be is to the, some of the problems it has now. I think that obviously from our profession, we see it on a daily basis, and we see the problem in people's homes. We see it on the street with the people that have the issues that are homeless. And to think about it becoming somewhat normalized for people is just beyond me how we can do that. But it's just up to us to continue to, you know, it's not a traditional mission of the fire service to educate people about prescription drug use or illicit drug use. So obviously we always talk about, you know, we tend to talk about fire safety and stop, drop, and roll and things like that. But it's becoming
regular things.
The regular things for us, but it's really becoming part of our, you know, ever since we've undertaken, you know, going on medical aids and being the first responders for that, that's got to be encompassed as part of our mission now when we educate people. And I'm not saying that we need to go to a second grade program and start talking about needle safety and everything, but I never thought we would be having these issues like we had, like we have now in our area. So our mission has to change.
What about the troops? I would suspect that you have to train differently because you're worried about somebody helping somebody out and, oh, geez, I just took a needle into the finger.
Right.
How do you approach it differently?
We obviously, as part of being EMTs and paramedics, we have a lot of, you know, training on infectious disease control and everything. But knowing that we live in an area that has that high prevalence of not only the discarded needles, but needles maybe in people's pockets, you know, we're always teaching situational awareness and making sure everybody is being conscious of that.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humble Bay Fire. He still says interim, but it says chief, Bill Reynolds. Billy, looking at the number of calls you guys take, I know it's another numbing figure. You know, we hear about how much, and it's like, yeah. It's cops. We got so many calls. Yeah. Okay. We're not doing it, so we don't feel it. We're not in the office when all the calls go through.
Right.
What percentage of the calls that you respond to are, and I'll say drug-related specifically, not medical aid, but drug, let's step back one further, whether it's a prescription, whether it's accidental, whether it's intentional, whether it's whatever, that are medical aids where you guys are racing the ambulance. What percentage of the total calls are medical-related?
That's a tough one. You know, last year we ran just shy of 7,000 calls. Roughly 65 to 70% of those are medical aids. And if I had to venture a guess of those medical aids, probably maybe 15 to 20% of them are drug related in one way, shape, or form.
Oh, that's all.
Yeah. And that's still a pretty big chunk of them, considering all the other maladies that are out there.
Yeah, but say 20% of your total responses are drug-related?
I'd say about...
That's not bad.
It's not too bad.
It doesn't sound overwhelming.
Right.
Or I would have thought it was higher.
Yeah, and again, that's a really gross estimate. I could be short on that, too. So, and being a...
Man, you're just making it too tough not to pounce on these things. So... If it's not drug-related, What are the other medical responses?
We run anything from obviously heart attacks and other types of difficulty breathing calls to lots of trauma calls for traffic collisions, any number of things like that. So, and again, the thing to think about with calls, though, is it's a pretty dynamic number. We could run a high percentage of drug overdoses or something drug-related 1 year, and the next year, for whatever reason, they drop down. So it varies from year to year. So,
do you bother with trends?
We do. We obviously, every type of call we go on, we write an incident report on, and that way we can track things like the amount of fires, the amount of intentionally set fires. We can track the amount of medical aids we're going on. And we do look at the information from time to time to see, what are we doing? What is your fire department up to? And what's the thing that's impacting us the most?
We're saying with the backdrop of the volatility that you just indicated, okay, to have a trend and have these big extremes, that's really tough. Even if you hit the mean, it's really tough to develop a trend. Because I was wondering, are you starting to see this time of the year, historically, the termigrants and some of the challenges, medical aid and drugs, that they represent, have you seen a difference this year? I think that's one of those big questions that people are asking with the legalization and with so many other counties now in production, out in open. Are they going to be coming to Humboldt County? And if they are they going to be around Humboldt Bay, or is it going to be southern Humboldt? Is it going to be northern Mendocino? Where are they going to go?
Right. Per se, I haven't seen too much of an increase in termigrants or anything of that ilk. But, Eureka is kind of the unique spot in the county in the respect that when people come here and they don't have a whole lot of means to provide for themselves, they tend to end up in Eureka because of the centralization of services and everything. And where we really see it, I've mentioned this before, but is for a lot of people that don't have health insurance and don't have regular medical care, a lot of times we're their first entry into the medical system, whereas they have some sort of a medical problem going on, they call 911 and they send us because they're having difficulty breathing or some other sort of medical problem. We're typically the ones that get there first, and we're their first contact with a medical professional that gets them off to the hospital. And from there on out, they deal with it from there. The other thing with Eureka, and I know this has been an issue in the past, is we have the jail here in Eureka. And if somebody's arrested somewhere else in the county, they end up in Eureka. And if it's not a violent offense, they get released on the streets of Eureka. And then we start seeing interactions with them for medical issues and whatnot.
Yeah, it's too easy to say a vicious circle, but it does kind of seem to be that way. Yes. Do you guys get any Measure Z money? Humboldt Bay Fire, I know the volunteers get it. But do you guys?
Up to this point, we haven't received any.
You bothered to try to play the game?
Well, as we're a member of the Humboldt County Fire Chiefs Association, and back at the beginning of Measure Z, recognizing the need for the smaller rural departments to get that money, we did step back and basically say, we'll bite our time and not go that respect. This year's focus was on for Measure Z funding for the Fire Chiefs Association was on training money, and we did put in for some money in conjunction with the other chiefs organization to try to do some improvements down in our training grounds down at the foot of Hilfiger Street in Eureka. But as part of one of the casualties of the cuts, our money didn't go through. So what we are looking at possibly getting some personal protective equipment for our firefighters out of it this year. So incrementally, we're going to start looking at getting a little bit more. But up to this point, we haven't received anything.
The training facility is one that's everybody gets access to?
Yes. Yeah, it's a regional training facility, and it's in our jurisdiction, so we have the most access to it. But if Cal Fire or Arcata or somebody has a class that they want to do or participate in.
Whitethorn?
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone's welcome to use it, and we'll even provide staff if we're going to use our burn box or something like that to practice firefighting. We'll staff it and help them out with their training and teach classes down there on occasion.
Do you do a lot of joint training?
We try to. Our area is so isolated and so rural that, as opposed to, say, New York City Fire Department, where they have, hundreds of fire stations, we're pretty much it in your greater Eureka area. And if we have something big happening in Eureka, once we expend our resources, which happens pretty quick, we're going to start calling in our neighbors, and we want to make sure that we train together and we all know how each other's doing business.
You guys are starting to monkey with budgets now, aren't you?
Yes.
General feeling, good, bad, indifferent? What's this year going to be like for you?
Pretty flat for us. We're not looking at any major increases. Obviously, there's the typical increases that we see on health care and things like that. But for the most part,
retirement, health care. Okay, fine.
It looks pretty flat for us this year. So you're not going to see anything overwhelming coming down the pike.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We will be back.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt Bay Interim Fire Chief Bill Reynolds. Okay, I said it once properly. That's it. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, American Ag Credit, REDEC, and by Lolita Cheese. Bill, looking at the budget itself, you said about 7,000 responses. Okay, probably upticks every year.
Yeah.
Continuing. You look at the fire stations and the placement, and I know it's not ideal, but okay, you deal with that. We've got this little outlier, the old fire station along Myrtle next to the cemetery. I know it's been something that has been a point of discussion for decades now. Boy, can I say I can say decades now. Too small, antiquated, physical issues with getting rigs in and out, getting them onto Myrtle. Boy, even when the place was built, I mean, Cousins Street went through. There was no Myrtle and West.
Right.
Yeah, the old mechanic shop. I mean, there was a bunch of changes in the neighborhood that have happened. With the budget as it is, with your costs escalating as they are, I know a couple, when Ken Woods was, that was one of the things that was on his list to get rid of just because the redundancy. It doesn't add that much, but the cost factor is there. When you're looking at the budget today and you go, okay, I'll make it through, it's flat, okay, fine. But sometime in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, we got issues, whether it's plumbing, roof, whatever the physicalness of it is, or if the city decides to widen the road or do the issues. How do you project out and go, okay, this fire station, this is what the status is, this is what we need, this is what we want, this is what would be ideal, boom, 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 and do that for each of the operations?
Well, basically, the first thing we're looking at before we even get into the dollars and cents of it is what's the best location for a fire station? Now, that fire
station. None would be located where they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Hindsight's always 20/20.
Okay. So,
yeah. There's some that are better located than others, but that one could definitely, with that being said, it's first into a lot of our fires downtown, and with our ladder truck running out of our main station at 6th and C, you know, a lot of times the first water to the fire is coming from that station when we have an engine staff there. But the biggest thing we're looking at is, the location where the need is at. And we talked a little bit earlier about, looking at trends and looking at, the types of calls are going on. We also want to look at maps and basically from our incident reporting software and see in that vicinity where the best location is going to be based on incidents and the needs. So we look at it that way. And
now that one, as an example, is always going to be high because you've got all the older retirement homes, assisted living, however we phrase that, with Alder Bay and the Salvation Army with Silvercrest. I mean,
right.
You just got an inordinate concentration there because I think those are probably two of the tallest buildings in the county within a quarter mile each way.
Pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have too many three-story buildings.
True. You know,
and they're both there. So that's going to swing things to the point where somebody could argue either side.
Right.
And be 100% lockdown legit.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you've got that little in the equation also.
Correct.
So how do you temper for that? Or do you say, you know what? We're going to have to expand this. We're going to have to make this as much of a prime station as Pine Hill is, and that's just the way that it is.
Yeah, and, again, it also, like you said, you mentioned the call load and everything there, and the no fire chief in their right mind is ever going to say they want to, you know, close a fire station. I say that jokingly, of course, because there are circumstances where budgetary and other
economic realities,
you have to close one. Yeah. But I can make a case for each one of our five stations as being the most important station in the area. It just depends on what's going on but again, like I mentioned, you know, with our ladder truck running out of downtown, it's a great piece of equipment, but, you know, and it's got a pump on it. So for nuisance fires and smaller fires, it can handle that. But if we have a good ripping commercial fire downtown, that's where a lot of the tax base is. That's where a lot of the value is down there. And to, to marginalize a station and basically call it a medical aid station when it's usually the first water to the fire in a lot of our commercial areas, I'd be pretty remiss to do that because, again, you know, if a lot of times, you know, again, we get the water to the fire and we keep the fire small, we can limit a lot of damage and a lot of threat to life, but before it gets out of hand, because we had a couple of those big fires last year, and I don't know, you know, obviously I don't have a crystal ball, but if we had that station open with an engine rather than our two-person squad that doesn't have a pump or water, you know, is there a potential that we could have done more and kept those a little bit smaller? Possibly.
Now, you've got a couple of interesting potential situations. You got the spot on Harris. I know it's been identified as a possible property swap. Okay, and it still sits there growing grass, mm-hmm. Lawn, and you guys are a block and a half away from it,
right.
In a building that has had plumbing issues for a long, 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 long time, and the other might be easier to be able to actually access onto Harris and shoot the other way rather than, you know, just with Henderson. What's the status of that? Is there progress moving in that direction? Is it just kind of sitting there? What is going on? Because I would propose that's probably the one station that needs the most attention,
mm-hmm.
and is going to be costing you the most year in and year out if it's not addressed.
Right. You know, there's been no progress on moving towards a new station right now. The station, it's holding together, and we're able to take care of it. The other side of it is, too, is it's a city-owned facility. As you know, Humboldt Bay Fire is made up of the City of Eureka as a parent agency and also Humboldt Fire District. And obviously, and one of the things with the consolidation with the JPA is each parent agency is responsible for their own facilities and their own apparatus. So it would have to be a joint venture if we got to the point where we were looking at, you know, either relocating or rebuilding a station or building a new station, depending on what jurisdiction it is. And we have to basically be in lockstep with the parent agency to make sure that we were meeting the needs that they saw as well. So
even though it's only a block and a half away, other than the budgetary, there's still a whole bunch of additional that has to be worked through.
Right, because it's a block and a half away, you know, like we talked about a little bit earlier, hindsight's always 20/20. Maybe there's a better place, you know, nearby or a little ways away that we could have put a fire station that would better serve the community as a whole.
It doesn't have a water tower on it.
Right.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. Final segment of the week. Bill Reynolds is alongside. Bill, as you look at the budget today, and I know you guys have got your rolling five-year plans, and you really gotta. What does 5 years out look like financially?
I think, like with a lot of public agencies, there's a lot of concerns to be addressed in the next 5 years. As you probably know, most of our budget is personnel related. With, you know, being a career fire department, we have salaries, we have retirements, and these costs over time don't go down. And obviously, finding sustainable ways to move forward and continue to meet our mission, be providing the best possible fire protection and emergency services, but also be fiscally responsible and, you know, not jack things through the roof. So, obviously, looking for, you know, revenue sources that are reasonable, that, you know, are that are sustainable for us to go forward. And that's the word I keep saying over and over again, but I'll say it again. Sustainable is meaning that, you know, this is something that we can take here today and we can make this last rather than spend a bunch of money on something and hope for the best down the road. We've just got to find more secure means of doing funding, and whether that's through a tax measure or some other source. These are things that we'll be exploring in the near future because, again, we want to be sustainable and we also want to make sure that we're, you know, being good stewards of the public money.
With the realities as they are, you got Humboldt Bay with its split personality, mm-hmm. or split funding, certainly. You got Samoa with a volunteer. You got Arcata with what Justin's got there is another hybrid kind of an approach. Is it time to really seriously explore a special district and to do a fire district that is really what would seem to make sense if we were starting all over again?
You know, I think that we always have to be open to looking at some sort of a consolidation of services. I know with the consolidation of Humboldt Fire District and the City of Eureka Fire Department, you know, the savings that are recognized there. And now I believe, you know, with the savings, I believe we're providing even a better service than we did in the past on both sides. And to be able to extend that out to see, because we're not alone in the financial boat as far as, you know, things look kind of grim in the future, to be able to see what we can put together and try to recreate what we did with Humboldt Bay Fire. I'm open to the concept. I think, you know, obviously there's a lot of work to be done because that's step 132 and we're on step minus one right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks, but I would think, particularly with the tremendous amount of volunteers that are in the area, that you really could have a very robust, healthy volunteer and robust, healthy paid, and have, as you were saying earlier, better station placement around the bay where the population is today, not maybe necessarily where it was and needs were historically.
Right.
Boy, wouldn't that be way cool? I mean, if you could do it, and I don't know if that's even financially a dream or a pipe dream, but to kind of at least look at it and spend a little, you know, maybe revisit the topic every 6 months so it never disappears. But when the opportunity is there, it's recognized as an opportunity and you can really jump it.
I think that's wise because for years and years, coming from the fire district side of things, we were always, you know, in another year or so, we'll be consolidated with Eureka Fire Department. And we did this for so long and then we finally had it happen, but nobody's ever looked in earnest beyond that. And to be able to have kind of a plan and lay some of the framework down of what could this look like and what could some of the benefits and non-benefits be, you know, to really have done our homework ahead of time. So if the, like you said, if the opportunity presented itself to really say, okay, we've already done a lot of this work, let's get down to the meat and potatoes of it all.
Well, not only know what it is, but when.
Right.
Okay, now we need to, and we got a plan that's actionable instead of sitting back. And
yeah. True enough.
All right, man. Enjoy your weekend.
I will.
No fires.
Hope not.
See everybody tomorrow.